This is for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And this is For The Players, the pop culture's PlayStation podcast. With over 40 years of playing PlayStation and over 5 years in the games media combined, we thought we'd throw our hat into the ring and join that PlayStation conversation.
If you would also like to join that PlayStation conversation, you can do so every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube, iTunes, and other podcast services. More conversation happens on our Facebook community page, facebook.com/groups/thepopculturist. But the most conversation happens on our Discord channel with the ever-expanding sub-channels. Latest one is a PUBG one. You can get the link for that in the description below. If you happen to really like what we do, please head over to patreon.com/thepopculturist. Check out the tiers there. There might be something there that interests you.
Sorry, I just punched your hand a little bit there.
I don't mind a bit of hand-holding.
No, it was good. It was good, nice fun.
Just to rekindle the flare.
Yeah,
the flame.
We only see each other like, you know, a couple of days a week now. So it's kind of like, you know, it's just like, hey, hey man.
It's still more than I see anybody else. Yeah, I don't mean to. Because I don't leave my fucking house.
speaking of leaving your house, if you're part of the community, you know what Josh has been playing. You know what I've been playing. Mm. So essentially, the way it's worked so far this week,
Our community is divided.
Half of us are playing Destiny 2. The other half have been playing PUBG.
Fucking PC games. Well, so, you heard a rumor in the rumor mill that PUBG might be exclusive to Microsoft and not coming to PlayStation.
Well, yeah. I want to have a chat about that when we dive into the PUBGs. Okay. But do you want to start with Destiny first or want me to start with PUBG first?
I'll go with Destiny. Destiny's fucking rad, man. Right. The raid came out this week.
Yep.
I participated with our buddy Max and a group of his friends on Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. The scale of this raid is phenomenal. You're on a ship called the Leviathan,
mm-hmm.
which
Good
is
name.
Ran by the Cabal Emperor. And he invites you there to see if you're worthy. So it's not like another big enemy, but it's like a test, a challenge of sorts. And the ship is like the size of a planet. Like, this raid is fucking huge.
Is it like 6 hours long or something?
Yeah, it's something ridiculous. Like, we raided probably for about 5 hours and got the first two encounters and the first boss, and we got to the second boss. I think there's three total and probably four encounters. But the boss fights aren't just your tank and spank, you know, just shoot the boss and dodge the things until it dies. You need to do things. You need to think and you need to communicate. And the second boss is you're in the Love Gardens or something. And the whole thing is you got two people on top platforms with lights, like solar lights, right? And the other four people are down below and there's a safe room and they grab these pollens. And you got to take the people at the top have to direct the people down the bottom to these flowers. And the people at the top pop the flowers and you get a buff that makes you do 12 times more damage that stacks three times. But there's five dogs patrolling the area, which will one-shot you. So you have to, like, as a group, sneak around while the other guys are leading
up
you.
Up to a top, like, turn left, take
yeah,
the
turn
left, hold
stop,
it,
stop,
hold
stop,
it.
Stop, 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 stop. And
that sounds awesome.
If you aggro the dogs, they all start howling. And it's really fucking scary. Like, the music, this really sinister music comes in and you got five dogs going, oh, and you've got to get back to the safe room in like 30 seconds or else everyone dies. So you got to try to get around to enough of these flowers to be able to take out two dogs at a time and then get back to the safe room and then kind of do it over again. And it's so intense and there's so much communication and we didn't get it that night, but they did. I fell asleep on the couch last night, so I couldn't raid.
Control in
night.
Hand? Like.
Yeah, while I was in orbit, in Destiny, waiting for the raid invite after 18. Just out I went. But they got it last night too, so they're on to the last boss now. And it's what raiding should be.
So right? If you drop in and drop out, can you drop back? So if you drop back in, they'll be at the last boss? Or do you have to do the 5 hours every time?
Yeah, no, so I think you get like a raid lockout. So you're in that instance of the raid.
Okay,
yeah?
Cool.
So next time, if I'm happen to jump in before the reset on Tuesday, I'll be at wherever they got up to.
Awesome.
I'm in the same raid lockout.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Because that would suck if you have to do the full 6 hours every time.
Yeah, no. But once you kill the first boss, you can like open shortcuts to get back there. So the next night you go and you can skip all the trash to kind of go through these other corridors to get to where you were. It's fucking awesome raid. Max was saying the final boss in it is the best raid fight he's ever had out of any game. Period. They were on the last boss for 2 hours and they didn't get fucking anywhere, but it's a lot of fun. So if this is what raids are in Destiny going forward, awesome.
Fantastic. I'm really bored.
But I haven't played anything else. I haven't even played Gwent this week. Because I'm just
well, so like I haven't jumped into Destiny. So like I have, like I did the stream on Monday, I think it was, for about 2 hours. Yep. No one turned up to that, thank you.
Everyone's playing it.
Yeah, that's why. Like, it was really funny because you were mostly like, why don't you stream Destiny? I'm like, because everyone that gives a fuck is playing it.
Yeah.
No, man, just stream it. It'll be fine. I'm like, all right.
I didn't say that.
No, Max did.
Oh, Max. Yeah.
And then I streamed it and got 20 something views.
Yeah.
And Knack got 400.
Yeah.
I'm like, there's a reason we picked Knack over Destiny, mate.
Yeah.
Like, business. I think of this like a business.
See, the shame is that we're all so deep in Destiny and you feel like you're too far behind.
I'm way far behind.
But
now.
You can get caught up in a night.
I'm like level 5.
Yeah, but I could get you to level 20 in probably 3 hours.
Yeah.
If that, because I got a medallion that gives you double XP.
That's handy.
The quick ways.
But will I lose out on the story by doing that?
No, because we'll do story missions.
No, but as like, because we're not rushing it.
No, we go at your pace. If you want to watch all the cutscenes, watch them.
I want to enjoy the story.
It's a great story. I finished it again yesterday on my warlock. I made another character. Great story.
Are you feeling a difference between the characters? Between the classes?
I'm enjoying the warlock much more than the titan.
Who am I playing? I think I'm playing the hunter.
Max loves the
whoever
hunter.
Has like the staff.
Yeah, the hunter.
Yeah, hunter's right. I normally play titan.
Yeah.
The last one
I
played titan.
Yeah, me too. I did as well. So I thought I'll keep playing with what I had last game, but I'm finding the warlock. The warlock's abilities and all their perks synergize very well together, whereas the titan's like, you can punch and then you have this and you have that and they're all separate, whereas the warlock's ones all work together in a really interesting way. But yeah, what I was getting at is that you feel like you're so far behind, so you're playing something else.
Correct.
And now that something else will make it even harder for you to want to get and sit down and play Destiny 2.
Yeah, so I've been playing PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds. It was something I've been wanting to play for a very long time. Never had a PC that can run it, so now with the new PC build, I was like, let's give it a go. Let's see what all this hype is. Hype's real.
You fucking love it.
It's so good.
Yeah. You're even watching streamers on it now.
Well, yeah, because the server...
The thing is that when you when you start watching streamers of a game, you know you're in.
Yeah, so the servers went down last night. I was like, fuck, because I pulled up a Twitch stream while I was fucking around on my computer because they were playing on like, the test server and whatnot.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so for those that don't know, because, you know, being console-focused podcast, everyone will know. So essentially, it's a massive last man standing. You'll spawn into a giant island, about 100 people, and slowly by surely, the map shrinks. So there's a ring, and that ring will forever shrink until it's
down. What happens if you don't get in the ring?
You die.
Okay.
Like there's like a little force field thing that as it, you know, hits you, takes a hunk of your health, and you slowly just deplete over time.
Okay. Yep. So you can't survive outside.
No, so you can't. So you have the benefit of you can hunker down, and so when you jump out of this big plane, right, there's 100 people, so there's like fucking bodies everywhere. And it's crazy. You need to try to land, you want to either try to land with someone where nobody is or like right in the fucking center of a city, because then you start raiding buildings for guns and
stuff
to survive.
Imagine the first 10 minutes of the game is just trying to raid and get
the first 10 minutes is all right, get as many guns as you can, and then decide on what you're going to do. So I normally land sort of off to the side a little bit, like not right near the big city, but like I find like a little farmhouse or something, land in there, do what I need, and slowly make my way in.
Mm-hmm.
So the benefit of the ever-changing thing is no one ever sort of stays still.
You're not camping.
If you happen to land right in the middle of the ring, you're done. You're just going to bunker up there for the rest of the game.
Yep.
If you find the weapons that you need. But you don't want it, because the second you discharge your gun, you're fucked. Yeah. You need to move.
Because everyone knows where you are.
Yeah, because the game, there's no music, so it's dead silent.
Yeah.
So if you hear it, like, and it's actually got some reasonably good spatial audio. So you hear a pop up over there, and you're like, okay, cool, they're probably coming from that farmhouse over there. And, like, you drop. Like, you're like... Because I've been playing solo, I've played duo, and I've played a squad of 4.
Let me jump in. How does Last Man Standing work if you're in a squad?
Whoever's squad survives.
Okay, but do you choose to play a game solo or with squads?
Yes.
Okay. So I'd say, because it'd suck being like playing solo, but then you're going up against a squad of four.
Yeah, you can make the choice. You can be like, you know, you click your, you know, the, like the Oceanic server, then you're like, do you want to play duo, whatever, whatever.
Okay.
I just play solo. Like, I've been playing with like Tom and Charlie from Load Screen. I've been playing with some friends from high school, friends from Melbourne, and I've been playing with Mitch, one of our community members as well,
and Chris, a friend of ours.
I haven't played with Chris yet though. Okay. That was just
I thought you played the other night.
No, we had full intentions too, but then I got stuck doing daddy things. By the time, right. And then I got stuck in one match because the match can either once you're in and it can go in minutes or it can go like half an hour.
Yeah.
So an example is if you happen to land in the same housing area as somebody else, because you start, no one lands with no weapons, right? So you literally look at you look at each other and you go,
dude. Yeah. Can you have a truce where it's like,
let's you just can, but away. The whole idea, it's last man standing. Yeah. So you have no benefit of trucing with someone outside of your squad.
You might lose the duel.
Yeah. Like there
you
was,
might lose the punch, the fisticuffs.
We were playing with the four squad. Where we landed, it happened to be another squad near us. Mm. So we hear Mitch like, "Ah, oh, fuck, there's more people." And you hit my buddy Jack. He's like, "Got this." You see him fucking run past in like a Where's Wally red and white striped shirt. And then he just Superman punches some guy. And then three people come out of the woodwork. And then we're in there. And it's this chaos fist fight. They all die.
Can you resurrect squad members? Or
yeah, you can revive them and stuff, like if they get knocked down.
So pretty much the only way to take out a squad is to take out all of them. Otherwise, one, if you leave one, he can come back and resurrect all his.
But you can kill them. Yeah. You got, so there's two, either you can knock them down.
Oh, they're down or they're out.
And then you kill them.
Okay.
So like there are, you know, when you're punching someone, you're probably going to knock them down and then they can be revived. Okay. But if you like,
can you like stomp on their face after they're down? Yeah,
so you just punch them and they drop, then you just punch their body in the ground.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's like that. There is such an adrenaline rush with this game, and because it's a game I've never experienced before in all my years of gaming. I'm sure this is a common thing on PC, but not replaying PC until now. This game, this is such a brand new experience for me.
I don't think there is another game like it, and that's probably why it's so popular at the moment and going forward.
Because no matter how well you do in that game, that next game could be completely different because you land with nothing.
How lucky you get finding stuff.
Yeah. Now, I've been doing okay, like, you know, because I try to play smart and try to run and gun too much. So I'm 10 deep, getting like the top, you know, 30. The best I've done is fourth solo. Yeah. And I was hiding behind a hay bale and some guy just fucked me up. And then we're playing with Charlie. We came second.
Nice.
So that was kind of fun.
What do you get for winning? Is it just brownie points?
Just brownie points.
You get like chicken. Like,
yeah, it comes up saying winner, chicken dinner. And then like, that's it. And then you win, bing. But other than that, like that's it. I think you do get points.
Towards something.
So that has a lot of cosmetics.
Okay.
So they're like in the Steam marketplace, there is like a bunch of like clothes.
Yep.
You know how it has a sort of like auction house system. It's like, hey, you want this pair of black pants? 30 cents. So as you're playing, you get, you get coins. And those coins be used for loot boxes. And it's entirely cosmetic. So you don't have to use them if you don't want to.
Yep.
But like, it's insane that this is not on consoles yet.
It will be. I'm sure it will.
I
think they launched it and they were not at all prepared for how popular this game would be.
No, but I mean, like, it's been out for a while. Like, it is more popular than they would have ever have thought. Mm. But like we know from E3 that there was mentioned that it's coming to Xbox at least. Mm. Now a lot of the wording at the time was very much like, you know, is this a Xbox exclusive?
You never know when Microsoft is walking. You like, don't know what the
they
fuck
were very
they
vague. There was no specifics on whether it was or it wasn't.
I'm just gonna do a Google search right now. Just
like so that's kind of this weird sort of middle ground. If it isn't like. If it is, fantastic, Microsoft. There's a huge pull.
And you have an Xbox anyway.
I have an Xbox, so like, but I want to play it with you. Like, I think
I'd be fun.
We would have so much fun because like it has that same communication that Destiny does. So as you land, it's like, all right, I'm going to raid the boot on the left, you went boot on the right. All right, cool. Those shots are coming from southwest. You know, but like, it's really good fun.
The only thing I can find is a quick article. PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds hits Xbox One later this year, but a PS4 version is looking increasingly unlikely.
Ooh.
There's another article. PS4 is getting its own PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds competitor soon.
Interesting.
So someone's trying to, I guess, mimic what it is.
Because the Battle Royale system is sort of the new popular thing right now. Because I know Fortnite as an example.
They're saying it's Fortnite, but that's not even really close.
Yeah, so Fortnite is a free-to-play game. Well, it's coming to be a free to play game next year.
We talked about that last
year. So a buddy of ours, Martin, community member as well as a friend of mine, he's been playing a ton of Fortnite, loves it. So it's their battle royale mode is very similar. Like you land and you do the same thing, except in Fortnite, the whole game is round about you building forts.
Yeah.
So you're also doing the battle royale stuff, but also the ability to build forts.
Yeah,
so when you get into the middle of the ring, you can just build a sweet fort and like shoot from the fort.
Yeah.
But that makes you an instant target because it's a giant fucking fort.
Yeah. Okay. If it comes to PS4, I'll 100% I'll pick it up. But we'll have to keep our finger on the pulse for that, I think.
Yeah.
I'm not going to buy an Xbox just to play.
No, in no way would I tell you to buy an Xbox, like, period. Let alone
if I was smart, because I started this generation. I know we're talking a long time before the news, but
it's fine. We always do it.
Show. We'll do what we want. started this generation. Yeah, I think I've said it. I bought an Xbox. I thought, new generation. I'm going to try something new. I'm going to get an Xbox One, and probably 3 or 4 months in,
you bet
me. I was seeing all this shit like PS4, this is and this and that. And I'm like, well, what the fuck am I doing with an Xbox? Because there's nothing to play except Titanfall, which lost its fun very, very quickly. So I sold the Xbox to my dad and used that money to buy a PS4. Probably 4 months ago, dad's like, do you want the Xbox? I'm like, fuck no, I don't. So we traded it into EB Games and he got Steam vouchers with it. He got like $250 worth of Steam vouchers, which he uses for his VR games. If I was smart, I would have said, yeah, just give it back.
Yeah,
because I had it.
Yeah, because you could have played some. Because whenever I get a review game for Xbox, it's all on the PopC account. Mind you, there's not much you'd probably want to jump onto, but
no. But in this case, if PUBG does turn out to be an exclusive for Microsoft, as cool as that is for Microsoft, that does suck for PlayStation.
I would like you to sit on the PC and give it a round. Like not today, but at some point. I think you'll get like the adrenaline is real.
What? It doesn't look very graphically intense.
Oh, no, because it is still in early access, so it's not that crazy.
It may run on my PC.
To its credit...
Look, I can run Skyrim on Ultra.
Then you're fine.
But, again, the PC is 8 years old, so I don't know how the drivers are compatible with the newer... I would suggest
taking a look and see whether it's doable.
With Steam, I can get a refund at least.
Yeah, so if it doesn't work, you can refund it. Yeah. Look, I'm having so much fun with this game because it's like that cool drop in, drop out. Like after I've done, in the end of my day, I'm like, I'm gonna play a couple rounds and then I'm done.
I
enjoy that.
It'll have to wait until this whole Destiny 2 fad's worn off.
Of course.
It does. So I'm at the point with Destiny 2 now where it's
you're in.
I've done everything I need to do, so now it's just when stuff resets for the week or for the day, I need to get and do my daily stuff. But other than that, if I'm not raiding or playing with friends, then there's not too much I can do by myself. So we'll see. How much is it?
It's $30.
I was expecting like 55, 60.
No, it's $30. Because it's still early access, so obviously you'll get the free upgrade when it goes full, but dude, oh man.
Like, it's doing well for an early access game.
I think it is the most concurrent, like I know we're talking like a PC game here on a PlayStation show, but like this is our PlayStation and gaming show, so where we do everything. So I never thought that a game would get me like this. Because you know me, I don't play games long.
We talked about it last week. We're at the buffet and I'm just stacking my plate full of the one thing and you're nibbling on everything.
Yeah, I'm nibbling on everything, but now I've just found the chicken schnitzels. And I'm like, give me all the chicken schnitzels. Or chicken dinner. See where I was going there? Didn't mean that on purpose. That's a totally accident. But I like that. Yeah. But yeah, anyway, that's what we've been playing. So if you want, totally join us on Destiny or PUBG. Having a great, good time.
I don't know if you do this already, but put our PSNs in there.
I do not, but I can. I can do that.
If anyone wants to jump on with Destiny, I'm happy to do anything.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you're happy to play with new people in PUBG.
It's fun. Yeah. Anyway, now we jump into the news of the week with the section that we call Inform the Players.
We have 6 bits of news this week.
Nice,
bit of a quiet news week.
Yeah, as we head into what will be the most fucked up month.
Number one is quite impactful on the PlayStation side of things. Bruce Straley, co-director of The Last of Us and Uncharted 4, A Thief's End, has announced his departure from developer Naughty Dog. In a post on Naughty Dog's official site, Straley wrote that, quote, "This has been the hardest decision of my career and that he has no current announcement about what his next steps will be. He did say, however, that he intends to, quote, continue the journey into the creative process." Straley began his time at Naughty Dog in 1999, working as a texture artist on Crash Team Racing as the company's 15th employee. Straley thanked his creative partners at the studio in his farewell, including Druckmann and Amy Hennig, as well as the company founders Andy Gavin and Jason Rubin, and former co-president Christoph Balestra, who also left Naughty Dog earlier this year.
I certainly don't think this is a bad thing for Naughty Dog. I think it comes... I would say this is coming down to... Dude, you worked 13 years in the same job. And you're like, yeah, I'm done.
Yeah. Well, he was at 18. 18 at Naughty Dog. And that's going from like a texture artist down the bottom.
Yeah. To running easily by far one of the biggest games ever made.
Yeah.
One of the most popular games ever made.
Yeah. Well, one of the most popular franchises in Uncharted and one of the most popular games ever made in The Last of Us, which you still haven't finished. Blows my fucking mind.
I think
mind.
I need to, yeah.
You're never going to get to it. But
I kind of really want to though.
I'm glad to see...
It's got pro support.
I'm glad to see that he's not out of the business entirely, that he is looking at something new. I'm excited to see what comes of that, whether it's a new studio or joining an existing studio or whatever. But the impact he had over the years is, well, it's known. You know?
Yeah. They're the two names. When you think Naughty Dog, like, you know,
Bruce even Charlie, like, Neil Druckmann.
Well, the three names, you think that and Amy and Henning. But, well, you know, Amy Henning's off doing her own thing now with Star Wars.
Yeah.
So, like, these are the two names of Naughty Dog.
Did you?
It's poo, but it's like also good. You know, good luck.
Just random side note: there's a YouTube series. I think there's three episodes, an hour long each. The making of The Last of Us.
Mm.
Have you watched it?
No.
It's like a no.
It pops up all the time, but I haven't seen it.
It feels like you're watching a no clip thing because it's got that kind of direction to it.
Yeah, sort of like narration.
Very cool. Like all behind the scenes interviews with Druckmann throughout the process.
Maybe I haven't done it because I haven't finished it. I don't want to spoil it for myself.
Yeah, there are spoilers in it. Yeah. Definitely worth. Got me teary as well. Like seeing Troy Baker and whoever played Ali, I forget her name. My bad.
Ashley Johnson.
Yeah, seeing them in the mocap suits, acting out certain scenes and all that. Even the really emotional scenes, even though they look ridiculous in blue.
Speaking of, have you seen the mocap done of like Witcher 3 when like one of the sex scenes? Yeah. It looks completely unsexy. Yeah. Like it's just uncomfortable. Like
black suits with all the nodes.
Yeah, he's like dragging her across the bed. It's like, what the fuck?
But I highly recommend watching that, like, because Bruce Straley does have, you know, they interview him as well. So I highly recommend that if you haven't watched it already. Number two, this might not interest you, but it interests me. Dragon's Crown may soon be coming to PS4. As first spotted by Hachima, the Nico Nico page for the Atlas's upcoming Tokyo Game Show 2017 live stream on September... this is a long sentence. Live stream on September 24th reportedly featured a banner to pre-order the PS4 version of Dragon's Crown titled Dragon's Crown Pro. According to Kotaku, the banner reads, quote, PS4 Dragon's Crown Pro and pre-order for limited edition version begin. The banner, which was also discovered on the mobile version of the stream's page, has since been taken down, suggesting this PS4 port was leaked ahead of an imminent announcement. Dragon's Crown was first released on 2013 for PS3 and PS Vita. This is one of my favorite Vita games of all time.
Oh, really?
It's a side-scrolling action RPG.
Okay.
Very hard, very difficult. Not Dark Souls-y in not in that vein of difficulty, but you need to play smart. You need to use your abilities carefully. Graphically, very, very stunning. And of course, it's by Atlas, who do, you know, Persona and Shin Megami Tensei.
You just said that at the start. I'd be like, yeah, I know I like it.
Yeah, it was by Atlas. Very Japanese.
Yeah.
But not Japanese in terms of like little skinny schoolboys, but Japanese in the other way of big fucking huge dudes and
like
girls,
big swords and
girls
shit.
With big tits and, you know, all that kind of stuff and big weapons and a very cool, very fun game. I reckon it should launch, probably be priced around $20-25.
You reckon?
But I think it'll be very popular on PS4 because a lot of people probably missed it on the Vita.
And the PS3.
And the PS3. I highly recommend checking that out.
Sweet.
I should have done for the trailer. Oh, I can't. I should have done, for the trailers. Go check out the launch trailer for Dragon's Crown because they haven't actually announced this yet. Number three, not PlayStation news, but really wholesome gaming news. Humble Bundle has now given over $100 million to charities like American Cancer Society and Doctors Without Borders.
Take a moment.
The company announced the fundraising milestone.
It's fantastic.
Whenever I pulled this article from, adding that the Humble Origin Bundle in 2013 and Humble Freedom Bundle were the two top promotions. They generated $10.3 million and $6.7 million respectively.
It's fantastic.
For those unfamiliar, Humble Bundle lets you pay what you want for a collection of games. You can even dictate where your money goes, such as to the developers or the charities. Humble Bundle noted that it took 4.5 years to reach $50 million for charity, but to hit $100 million, it was shorter than 3 years. So it's definitely picking up steam.
Humble Bundle's fantastic. Like you can pay like $20. Like it'll say, hey, here's five.
And of course you can pay a dollar if you want to.
So like normally it's like, hey, here's five games. You want to pay $5?
Yeah, and they're all not shitty games. They're not bottom of the barrel games.
Yeah, and then if and then good. It's like, hey, there's a tier two, and if you pay $15, you get these extra four games. Yeah. If you pay $25, you get these extra four games.
If you pay $25, you get the collector's edition or the deluxe edition of X games and all of that.
And like
well.
When it says $25, you could pay $70 if you felt the need. And if
Great cause, great, you know, I'm sure great back service. In 2013 when they announced that they weren't expecting to hit that milestone. But it is good to see as well that the turnover is a lot more, you know, as the years go on. You know, 4 years to get to 50 million, but less than three to double that. So,
awesome.
Fucking awesome. That's great. And the times when, whenever there's a big Humble Bundle on, I always see it, you know, everywhere. And I'm like, that's when I wish I played on PC. I'm like, this is cool, but it has no benefit to me. But then I could buy them and just donate to charity, I guess, as well.
Yeah.
But Doctors Without Borders is such a fantastic... there's a... You know, me and my YouTube documentaries, like we talked about on Popcorn, there's a few on Doctors Without Borders, and it's really, like, really dark, but really fulfilling as well to see these people doing what they do.
Is there something that I'd like to do as well, you know, speaking of charity stuff, like we know our friends over at the Explosion Network, they're doing... something in early November to raise money for charity. And I'd love...
Player 2 did a 24-hour stream.
They did as well, yeah. You know, with Paul.
Last month, I think, with Paul.
I'd love to do something
The thought
like
of
that.
Doing a 24-hour stream is really fucking daunting.
Yeah.
But as long as... We got to wait. We got to decide what games can keep us interested for that amount of time.
Yeah.
Like what? Because we'd obviously rotate through games.
Yeah.
Maybe a 24-hour live stream of Destiny, maybe. Or PUBG. But yeah, we'll do something at some point.
Because I love the idea of it. It's fun. It's a good stream, and like, I think it would be, and it's all anyways for a good cause.
Yeah,
you know, we have to.
We'd have to pick our charities as well. You know, number one for me would probably be the Starlight Foundation.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Because it was when my daughter got kicked in the head by a horse when she was like seven.
Sorry for laughing. It's just what your delivery was solid.
Like almost died.
Yeah,
like couldn't have been any closer to the point where the doctors were like, I don't fucking know if she's going to live or not. Mm. The Starlight Foundation was fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Couldn't have done it without them.
Yeah, and like, you know, myself, when I was born, I was super, super sick, and I went to the Royal Children's, and yeah, they kept me alive. So,
yeah.
You know,
and I do know that
those two places are very, very close.
And I do know that EB Games donate to Starlight
they
as
do
well,
massive
but they
Starlight.
Don't advertise it, which is even better, I think.
They do some cool little events. It's always like, hey, we do this event, but throughout the year
do it like, look at us, we're donating to charity, we're the good guys.
It's just part of their daily deal.
Like, if you use a EB Games gift voucher and there's, you know, a buck left on it or whatever, and you go, yeah, just take it, and they'll donate to Starlight. So
it's awesome.
Yeah, EB Games, good guys. Number four. This is a bit of a big one, but
right.
I think it's fucking rad.
I'm going to hunker down.
Like other Call of Duty games, the series' upcoming installment of Call of Duty World War II will feature a zombies mode.
Yes.
While we've known about the cast that will appear in it for some time, we've now learned the first details about what players can expect.
Like David Tennant and stuff,
from this year's zombies experience. Speaking of PlayStation blog, John Horsley, senior director at Sledgehammer and the lead on World War II zombies mode, confirmed that it revolves around wave-based encounters like previous zombie modes. Quote, the mode is focused on exciting four-player cooperative combat against waves of increasingly difficult zombies, he said. The mode will be grounded in a gritty, horrifying setting that draws on the developer's experience with horror games like Dead Space. Horsley says the team is striving to make
Sledgehammer
it
Dead Space.
The most terrifying zombies experience Sledgehammer has ever created. Horsley also shared some details about the mode setting and story. Quote, zombies will take place in a quiet Bavarian village in Germany in the later years of World War II. Players will be transported to a horrifying corner of the town where bloody sewers, evil laboratories, and ancient tombs will reveal their dark secrets. They'll also encounter different types of zombies, each of which fills a specialized role as well. In one example, Horsley says players will encounter a flaming and running zombie that will give you serious problems if you get cornered. You forgot they made Dead Space, didn't you? So they want to bring what they've done with Dead Space, which Dead Space 1 I never finished because it was too scary. they want to bring that into World Zombies, which I think will be fantastic.
Josh, I think we need to get this game.
Yeah, I'm
after playing the beta, I'm in.
I don't give a shit about... I don't think anyone really does about the story modes. Mm. Well, my dad does. My dad enjoys the campaign.
Oh, because I'm a multiplayer, so I like stories.
Multiplayer, I'm bad at multiplayer. competitive multiplayer shooters these days, but that mode has me interested. That you play
the war one,
the one where
it's awesome.
Where you're like pushing forward with the that objectives. So that's cool. But you know, zombies is always the thing. I think it'll make a fun stream. I'm interested to see how scary they can make it.
Yeah, it looks like
because zombies is always scary in a way anyway. You know, it's harder and harder, and the sounds of zombies make are scary. Mm.
And it's that thing from like Breaking Bad. It's like they're not just zombies; they're Nazi zombies. They're like they're undead, and they hate everything that you like. They have different morals to you, so it makes it a even worse thing to deal with.
But yeah, that's got me excited for World War II Zombies.
Fuck yeah! So this is it. I normally kind of have this thing.
We might be able to play it at EB.
We will be playing at EB. I have reasons for like
it's obviously going to be there.
It'll be
Call of Duty's there every year.
Yep,
in a pretty big way.
Yeah, hopefully, like you said, we'll be at EB Expo. We've talked about this before. But yeah, so we'll be, no doubt, we'll be with the PlayStation booth again. And
it sounds exactly like the zombies you're used to, just it's going to be probably a lot darker and a lot more horrifying.
Yeah. Because that's one of the big things they've been talking about is not sort of the marketing of this, but like they've mentioned that, you know, with World War II, they're trying not to glorify war. They want to show you the horrors of war. Mm. It's sort of in the same vein that Battlefield 1 did with big opening set pieces like "You will not live."
Yeah.
You know, and when they die, you switch to a different person. That person, like, in the same horrifying realization of war that you get from Battlefield 1, I think they'll probably go a little bit harder.
Yeah, I mean, having said I don't care about the single players in Call of Duty, I did. Like, Modern Warfare 1 and 2 were fantastic.
Yeah, like, Ghost onwards, I didn't play Ghost. I just stopped.
Black Ops 1 and 2 were pretty good.
Yeah.
But, you know, they might strike gold with the single player as well. I always play them.
Mm.
It's just most of the time I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm in.
Number 5, a bit of Destiny 2 news. Bungie has confirmed that the Curse of Osiris is indeed the name of Destiny 2's upcoming expansion. Curse of Osiris is not a leak, it's real, even though it was leaked, which probably pushed them to announce it. Bungie marketing director Eric Osborne said in a post on Twitter. I forgot that I made little dot points. 2 days after launch, Destiny 2 had 1.2 million concurrent players.
That's huge.
And Activision outlined what?
Just how big it was.
According to the publisher, the game had the biggest launch week of any console game released in 2017.
Makes sense. Destiny totally was huge. Destiny's still huge.
Yeah. Well, Destiny 1 was huge, and then it was shit, and then it got huge again. But Destiny 2 is just firing on all
cylinders. I think Destiny 2 has had a great kickoff, which you sort of broke down last week.
Yeah. Well, I saw a video when the day the raid launched on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
It was probably a 30-second clip of the whole team at Bungie watching 4 streamers on TV all competing for world first. So they had the TVs like split into 4.
Yep.
You know, you got each of the 4 closest teams closest to finishing the raid, and it was all a last boss race, and the whole Bungie team sitting there watching, and one got it down. They're all getting up and they're all cheering and they're all clapping and they're all happy. So, you know, Bungie are obviously really invested in the community as well.
That's awesome.
It was really cool to see.
So what is this Osiris?
Not too many details on it yet. You will more than likely, according to the leak, be going to Mercury, which is
the closest place to the sun.
Yeah, which is pretty. Which the it's planet gaseous is and hot. Fucked up because of I can't story spoilers, but Mercury's not in a good state.
Yeah, it's real close to the sun.
Well, other than that, it's been fine all this time.
Yeah, but like people don't go on there.
It'll be hot. It'll
be shitty as hell.
It's Destiny.
You know, and the day goes for like 8 hours.
Yeah. Yes, something to do with that. Something to do with Ikora, the warlock trainer. You know, a bit more of her story and her her master who trained her. And, you know, there'll be new maps and all that kind of stuff.
Sweet.
Which is rumoured to be launching at the start of December, which is very quick.
It's really soon.
But, yeah, that's, you know, what they do. Bungie have probably learned from Destiny 1, you know, lack of content. So it seems they're going to be keeping a steady stream of stuff happening.
Hopefully it's all good.
Next and final bit of news. Top selling games for the week ending 10th of September 2017, starting at number 10, Ghost Recon Wildlands, number 9, F1 2017, number 8, Uncharted 4, number 7, Madden 18, number 6, GTA 5, number 5, Ark, number 4, Knack 2, baby, number 3, Crash Insane Trilogy, number 2, Lost Legacy, number 1, of course, Destiny 2. So I can't help but wonder if Knack 2 is there purely because it was accidentally free for a little bit. That was last week's cycle, wasn't it?
See, this, you know what this is proving? My theory that we sold no games in Australia.
But you got to imagine we.
I imagine
what's the gap between
the differential
number two?
Between Destiny 2 and Lost Legacy is huge.
Yeah. It's like 20 to 100 copies.
Yeah, it's like 80% of the games sold last week, Destiny 2, and the rest are kind of fillers. Yeah. Like they only sold like 3 copies of Wildlands.
I mean, I was whinging probably a month ago that it's the same fucking games in the list every week, but now we've got Destiny 2, we've got Lost Legacy, we've got Knack, we've got Ark.
And Madden's new as well. So they are
Madden's been in there 2 weeks running now.
Yeah, F1's new. As in, like these games, apart from GTA, which has been there since 2013, it is slowly shuffling around, which is good.
And no Call of Duty in there for the last 3 weeks now.
Hmm.
Because no one gives a fuck about buying Call of Duty now.
Once they played World War II, yeah. Shit's good. Like you and I. Like I played it, and I'm like, I'm in. I'm done. And you're like, I've seen zombies. I'm in. Mm. Fuck the new one.
Sold me on zombies. Yeah. Watch me play. I'll play zombies once, and then go, this is too scary. I'm never playing
it. That's what I'm hoping. I think it'll be good.
Yeah. That's it for the news.
Yes. This is where we break down a topic of some sort, and it's the main thing.
Mm.
So it's another name. It's yours this week.
So I've pulled, there's a bit of controversy with all these Destiny news. Of course, there's some controversy in there at some point. So I've pulled an article I'll read. And then
so we're not going to mention the PUBG controversy with the N-word.
Oh, we'll get to that. That can kind of
why have
off
we
this.
Both played the most controversial games of the week?
Because we're playing it, that's why. So I'll read this article and then we'll get into a little chat about it. Bungie is working to remove a legendary piece of armor from Destiny 2 that features what looks like a well-known white supremacist symbol. If I have to explain what it is to Ryan, it's probably not well known. As reported,
and the fact that I'm not a white supremacist, I'm not going to know it. Like I'm not a dick.
I've got it tattooed on my back. As reported by Waypoint, the armor piece known as the Road Complex AA1 Gauntlets what resembles the Kek logo featured on the Kekistan flag, which serves as a symbol of white supremacy. For comparison, you can check out pictures. Bungie took to Twitter to confirm the gauntlet will be removed from Destiny 2. Quote, it's come to our attention that the gauntlet in Destiny 2 shares elements with the hate symbol. It is not intentional. We are removing it. In a subsequent quote post, Bungie apologized for the item's inclusion, saying this does not represent our values and we are working quickly to correct this. We renounce hate in all forms. Okay, so first off, do you know what Kekistan is?
No.
Okay. So Kek, the word Kek means lol.
I've heard the word cuck. That's different.
No, cuck is like, cuck I think is like a guy like being whipped. I think. I don't know.
I do, yeah. I have heard it as like as someone that like shares their partner. Fuck if I know. I don't know what this industry
anyway,
world is.
Kek means lol. And that started from World of Warcraft because you got Alliance and Horde. And when you speak just... because you can speak in different channels or you can just speak to people around you.
Yeah.
And when Horde says lol, Alliance see it as kek. Because, you know, translating, you can't understand what they're saying.
Oh, that's awesome. So wait, not the use of it as racial slur, racial involvement. But like, so...
Alliance and Horde can't communicate.
I didn't know
so
that.
So if the Alliance is speaking to other Alliance
it
members,
just comes as gibberish.
It comes up as gibberish.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And you can kind... like, you can have a... you can be on speak with someone who's playing. It's like, type this. And they're like, well, I said this. Okay, so that comes up as that.
So but you can decipher it if you put the time
in.
Yeah,
you can. So Horde says kek when they say lol. That's what Alliance see. And that's just ran on as becoming on the internet now. People say kek instead of lol in certain subgroups. Like. But Kekistan is a fictional country created by white supremacists. Gone by the flag of Kekistan and like Pepe is the dictator and it's... is meme central, yeah? But apparently it does stand for white supremacy as well. And their flag has a symbol on it which looks like a... yeah?
Can I point out some very strong irony calling it Kekistan? Sounds like a Middle Eastern country.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Are they aware of that?
I don't know.
But the like white supremacists... and okay, whatever.
The symbol is a back the front K, three vertical lines... left to right.
Horizontal.
Horizontal lines... and then a forward-facing K.
Oh, yeah, I've seen this. Yeah.
And that's on their flag. And the armor Destiny 2 had was a gauntlet that had very similar... looks... you wouldn't have known it until it was pointed out, yeah?
Mm.
And Bungie have said in post-follow-ups that, you know, we made this... like, we developed this armor years ago, you know? So during that time, this whole Kekistan thing has started.
Okay.
And then... so what I want to get at is... why are we such fucking bitches when it comes to this stuff?
Okay.
Because, like, Bungie's statements to me were like they were in full fucking panic PR mode. Like, we renounce hate in all forms. This is not our values. It's like, take a chill pill, man. It's, I don't know. What do you think about it? Because I think Bungie should have left the armor in, and it, the conversation should have been, hey, this looks like this. And Bungie go, well, it's not.
Mm.
And that's the end of it. But now this armor's been, is or will be pulled from the game, and probably be remodeled and, you know, put back in or whatever. Because I have this armor, so I don't really know what's happening with it. But yeah, I don't understand why, because it was such a, obviously a very PR response. You know, we renounce hate in all forms. These are not our values. We're sorry. We apologize to anyone we've offended. It's like,
yeah, but did, we on a moral level,
did you really offend anybody?
On a moral level, we agree with that. Where, you know, we disagree in hate with hate, hate in all forms.
On a moral level, for sure.
You know what I mean? So it's like, for us, it's like with this decision, I'm like, yeah, that's fine. We live in this, in the world that we live in right now is rage culture. Yeah. That's everything that is in this world functions around that right now for some fucking reason, especially in the US, which is the predominant market for video games.
Which is, so now I'm raging about the rage.
Yeah, pretty much. So,
because to me, I reckon, I don't know. I could be wrong, but 10 years ago they could have just said it's not that and left it at that.
I disagree. Yeah? I think the it would have been a very similar conversation. They're like, hey, it's a mistake. We, when we designed this, we didn't know what it was, so we pulled it. That would be the conversation. Rather than, I think they still would have pulled it, but it wouldn't have been like no. Like,
but it's also
the, for them, for like right now, it's because in the age of social media, everyone will jump on something in a fucking heartbeat, right?
For like 2 days.
For 2 days. And, but Destiny is on such a win right now. If the second, like, they should pull it, because that, like, it'll take the wind out of the sails. So I understand.
Will it though?
I think,
like,
it would.
That's the thing, because looking at these symbols side, like, to side, but that's
entirely
my,
bad PR.
That's my irking as well. Is that looking at these symbols side by side? Sure, I guess it loosely maybe resembles it a little bit, but it's not like a carbon copy of it either. It's just, there are only so many symbols you can make here, and some things are going to look like other things. I mean, you know, a swastika stands out like a fucking sore thumb, but some things are going to look like other things. It's like, you know, music. Some music songs are going to sound like other songs, but they're not copies of it. So I don't know. I hate the culture we're in at the moment.
Yeah, I hate it.
I hate that they felt like they had to do to take it.
Like, I don't think it's a PC culture thing. I don't think it's that at any stretch of the imagination. It's the same thing. So if we did some sort of video that someone's mistrued as hate speech, I'd be like, no, it's not hate speech. What the fuck? Like, that's not who we are. You know, that's,
surely you put out a statement and go, no, you, like, you've misinterpreted it. Sorry, but we're not pulling the, like,
we're not depending on the video is, like, you know, I might cut it or something, like. I might.
We've done it once.
We've done it once, and that
was
one
a mistake.
I regret that one so bad. Like, normally I don't cave, because like, we don't say anything that's too over the line on purpose, because we're not those people. You know what I mean? So like, I'd like to think that we're never going to be put in that situation where we're going to have to make that decision. But as someone that isn't filled with hate, as someone that doesn't give a fuck about the color of your skin, like, if it was me and I was the guy at Bungie, I'd be like, yeah, pull it. Release a statement, pull it.
And I get,
it's more of a safety thing. It's just like, pull it, just do it. Yeah. It's gone.
I guess I understand why they've pulled it. I just hate that they felt like they had to do
that. Yeah, it's horrible that we live in a time and place where shit like that has to happen. Because, you know, even like right now, like even before we walked in this room and recorded, I saw an article on my Facebook that was like slamming Senua's Sacrifice for how it's treated mental illness. That game is probably the most incredibly accurate mental health experience.
It's the same, and people,
you know what I mean? It's people just like hating on shit now.
And it's people outside the know that just jump on things. Take, for example, South Park's recent difficulty slider, yeah? Because if you're black, the game is much harder, and if you're white, the game is easy. Like, that's
all. See, the thing is, that's a total stunt. It has absolutely zero effect on the game.
That's what South Park is. It's satire. Yeah? But people are, of course, up in arms about it. The people that don't know the industry, they don't know South Park, they don't get that, you know, this is what South Park does.
But what I love is people having problems, and they're like, dude, it's South Park. South Park are untouchable.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
this is what South Park thrives on.
Like, this is what they're here to do. They have, like, their place in this world is to dissect and pull apart everything and sort of show it up for its good and its bad.
Yeah.
You know, I think that difficulty thing is granted controversial, but it is a perfect example and a satire of American culture right now. And I think that is what that's what these guys do. But I think that's a satire and accidental potential. Maybe racist symbols is, you know.
We made this first. We did this years ago.
Yeah, but we didn't see it until now.
During that time, something similar has come.
So you got to remember, though, here in Australia, shit's pretty good. Yeah. We aren't having riots on the street. We're not having, you know, fucking racist marches. Well, where we live anyway. You know what I mean? Like, US right now, the US right now is, pun intended, nuclear.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's fucking on a knife's edge over there. We shit like this. You know, like, we're having our own version of just random hate speech with this new same-sex voting thing. The answer is, you know, vote yes, of course. You fucking idiot. Vote yes.
I saw on the ring road on the way here.
Yeah.
You know how there's the big letters and they change them like, go Cats or, you know, Villawood Shopping Centre and whatever. Yeah. At the moment, they say vote yes.
Hell yeah.
Awesome.
I would like to make... I was thinking about this actually when I was driving home from... lunch today, I was thinking, I'm like, maybe we should make a fucking, like, we don't do political things normally, but I do want to, it's like a 30-second video, just like, look, we don't do fucking politics, but vote yes, you idiot.
Yeah,
fucking asshole. Like, I mean, like there's two types of people in this world. There's, you know, people that, like, don't be a dick. There's, like, give, you know,
there's two types of people in this world. You like dick or you like pussy. Doesn't matter where you're coming from. If you have one or the other, you just prefer one or the other. It doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah,
but what I've seen that makes me mad on the social medias, this is why I avoid social medias like the plague, people going, I'm not gonna vote yes because they're pushing their agenda too hard. It's like, just vote yes and you never have to fucking hear about them speak about it's it gone. Again. It's gone.
It's not an issue anymore.
Yeah. But then there's the more controversy on the PUBG side of things. I'll let you bring that one in.
So PewDiePie has recently caught in some fucking flack.
As it always seems to be.
Yeah, a lot recently.
When you got 57 million people subscribed to you, every word you say...
When you are literally the biggest YouTuber. So essentially he was doing a stream of PUBG and he called someone the N-word. You know, and like, well, this is what I hate about the N-word. Because, like, I'm not going to say it. I say the N-word and you in your head goes, you made me say it. It's a great Louis C.K.
Everyone listening,
it's a great Louis C.K. joke.
Everyone listening, like, has just said it in their head.
It's a great Louis C.K. joke. Like, no, you've made me racist by made my head going N word. Oh, it's
The N word.
Fuck no, I've said it.
Yeah.
You know, but the point, like the issue that they're having is he says it as a he's frustrated at someone and he calls another player an N word. The issue that I have with it is, when you're in the heat of the moment of a game, you say what's in your common vernacular.
You should hear me driving. The shit that comes out of my mouth.
Oh man, I've inherited this from my dad.
My go to, and this means nothing at all. This is just when someone does something dumb, like cuts me off, or you know whatever, speeds past me. You fucking dick shit cunt. What does that mean? I don't know, but in the heat of the moment, just all those words string together, and that's what comes out.
See, that's the thing. It's like, you know, in the heat of the moment, like, you know, so my dad and I, when we're driving, ours is you find a collection of swear words that mean no sense, and it comes together, and you're like, that's an impressive insult.
Dick shit cunt.
Yeah, dick shit cunt. Yeah, like, you know, because I was talking about this with Mitch last night when we were playing PUBG, and, you know, when in the heat of the moment, like, I'll say fuck, and I'll say shit, and, you know, like, C word I use very sparingly. It's a very strong word. Only when I'm really mad is when it'll come out. But even then, so because I do that in my that is my common vernacular. Like swear, like that part, like those two swears are common for me. So when I'm playing the game and I'm in the heat of the moment and I get killed, I'm like fuck, because that's how I talk. Which is that's what's concerning about PewDiePie. He said that really without hesitation. So I think that the issue that more people are having is the fact that, is this part of his common vernacular? An example, right? When we're playing, we don't call people fags. Because we don't use that term.
Except each other.
Yeah.
But it's an in-joke.
No, but even then, like, we don't use that term. Like, that's not
aggressively.
But in period. Like, as in, like, we've had, like, a couple of jokes here and there. But, like... Because we're addressing the fact that, like, you know, when we were younger, that was weird that was okay. I mean, so, like, we don't say it ever outside, you know, like, so.
The thing is,
is this PewDiePie's common talk?
Even if it is, what does it matter? See, the my issue in that respect is people think, you know, you have X amount of subscribers, so you need to be a role model. No, I fucking don't. All these people chose to come to me, and I appreciate it, but I'm not... Whether it is part of his common vernacular or not, if it is, that's him. Mm. And he does his thing. And if he says it and you don't like it, then just stop watching him.
Yeah.
And look, it's as simple as that.
Like, as in, like, in terms of just turn it off and walk away, that's my stance on any sort of controversial content. Just don't fucking look at it. All right?
Done. Which is why I avoid social media for the most part.
So, but, like, I agree and disagree with the terms of, like, he is in a position where he will inherently be a some sort of role model, and that's fine. You know, he's been in that place, and I'm not saying that he should act a certain way, but he should be conscious of that.
Yeah, I think also with that particular word, I mean, it's a cultural thing as well. Yeah, you know, he's a Swede, and while I'd imagine he knows it is a bad word and what it means and why it's a bad word, I don't think he fully understands how, like, the impact of that word.
I disagree. We aren't from America, like, you know, where the term sort of...
Yeah, but we speak a common language.
Yeah, but people know what hate words are, man. Like, it's simple. Like,
no, but that's the thing. He knows what it is.
Actually, granted,
I don't think the extent of it.
I call my wife a racial slur. Her name's Millie. I call her Mooly. I had no idea that was a racial slur for like the first 6 months.
Neither did I until you told me.
And then I got told. I'm like, what? And like at that point, I was like, I'm in too deep. I can't. You know, but that comes from a different place. Like, N-word is a very, like, you know, no, what that shit means. I think it's more of an issue with PUBG, period. So when you drop into the when you drop into the main hub, when everyone's sort of loading in, that's all you hear.
Yeah,
is racial shit.
Range chat.
Yeah, in proximity chat, that's you hear, oddly enough, China number one. You hear that a lot. Don't know why. You hear N-word. You hear, you know, Asian racial slurs. You hear everything. It's so bizarre.
Yeah.
I've never experienced anything like it. Like,
it could just be people role-playing. You know,
it's people just being, you know, like, it's people being shit. It's the anonymity of
people,
the internet.
People seeing a spot where they can be shit. And they decide to
but
be
even
shit.
I'm playing that. I'm like, I have no desire to say any of that shit.
I don't know, like, yeah, the whole thing is that I'm of the opinion, if you don't like something, like you said, then just don't watch it anymore. You know, if PewDiePie's language offends you, then don't watch PewDiePie anymore. But it's also how much, you know, yeah, he fucked up. He obviously knows he fucked up. But then as soon as someone fucks up, the world is like, fuck this guy in particular.
That's the culture. That's the issue
and
there.
I hate it.
Me too. I totally hate it.
Because, well, Pewds must live a fucking sweet life. You know, the mental strain of, like, anything he says, because he's had all that controversy with Disney a little while ago.
Yes, that was with his, you know, the Jewish things that he did.
But, like, I'm a Jew and I don't give a shit. Whatever.
Yeah, but, like, yeah.
You know, maybe I'm too chill for this world.
Yeah, so, like, what you and I are is we are just regular people.
Yeah.
As in, like, that sucks. Like, don't do that. Like, we're not going to do that.
No.
Just, you know, if I'm happy with it,
but it's like every media outlet is just, like, sitting around their desks.
Click, man.
Just waiting for someone to fuck up, and they all go, articles, because they get clicks. And I get it. I get that part of, you know, it's the same with newspapers. You know, you need a good headline to sell a newspaper, and you need good titles to get people to click on your webpage. I just hate that we're at that point in society.
I couldn't agree more.
I really dislike it.
Couldn't agree more.
I don't know if there was any point to that chat.
It was just venting.
Just venting out.
But, like, not adding to the rage culture. Like, I guarantee, like, I'm not going to make the thumbnail and the title of this about the topic.
Pew says the N-word.
Nah, I've got no, like, that's title. It's making this the worst. You know, like, I'll probably make it about PUBG or about Destiny or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, like, I'm the one to fuel that machine. I just wanted to sort of, you know, it is affecting gaming, you know, and that, like, that's a problem.
Mm.
I remember when Horizon had that big bullshit about the Braves and
same
stuff.
Same thing, yeah. Same thing. Just
see, this is the problem. Like, the internet, as fantastic as it is, it gives everybody a voice. Now, it's given us a voice. It's also given a bunch of shit people a voice too.
Yeah. But everyone's allowed to speak their mind, I guess, as well. Whatever. Let's move on. That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah. I actually made myself tired.
Raging about the rage.
Look,
questions next?
Okay, here we go. I'm just going to address the camera pretty quickly.
Give you the one.
Dude, there is one simple way to avoid all of this. So don't be a dick. Period.
Yeah. If you don't like something, walk away from it.
There are two types of people in this world, dicks and non-dicks. Be a non-dick. Yeah. Like, it's
like
fine.
Like when I go to Reddit and read some comments. Reddit's actually really good in the comment section normally because each subreddit has its moderators. But you just see people arguing like for what, you know, first comment 4 hours ago and then it's just comments all the way up to current. Like these two people going back and forth. It's like, just walk away. Mm. You don't have to prove this point to this fucking person.
You don't need to fight. Like, as I said, like, I... See, this is the other thing back to the gay marriage vote. Like, I'm a big yes.
Of course you are.
Of course I am. Like, there are
not just because your dad is gay.
Yeah, there's many, many important people in my life that are homosexual, that are same sex, and I believe they should have the same right that we do. Now, I'm not someone that's going to go plaster that shit all over my Facebook, all over my car, or you know why? Because like, not because I don't want to, It's like I don't feel I should have to because I don't feel, you know, me. You ask me, I'll tell you all about my thoughts.
Mm.
You know, but like I'm don't like. I'm not wearing it as a badge. I'm not one of those people.
You'd make a horrible Jehovah's Witness.
I mean, yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, no, I can't. I'm not very pushy when it comes to that sort of shit.
No, me either. Same thing. I don't get on Facebook and make these statuses about you should vote yes because blah, 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 blah.
Mm.
But same thing. If you ask me, I'll give you my stance.
Yeah, so there's very close people that I would love to see get married one day. Like, you know, if we ever do make a little clips, I would like to make a little thing, you know. You know, getting married was one of the greatest things I've ever done in my life.
Mm.
And knowing that there are people in this country,
seeing BVS was going to be better than getting married.
God, I was wrong. Denying people that right is insane.
Just because they like,
regardless of your whatever your religious backgrounds are, whatever your stance is, cool. Mm. You don't let your beliefs affect somebody else.
No, but it's also in the same vein as like, you know. That's not what marriage is by definition. Well, you know what? Fucking slavery used to be cool.
Yeah.
And that's not anymore.
Cool.
Like, that's changed.
You know, like, there were straight up laws about women not being able to do things.
Vote.
That was the traditional way to do it. It's changed, man. Adapt with the times. Nothing's going to... Yeah. Fuck.
Adapt with the times or shut the fuck up.
Just don't be a dick. Just, you're cool, all right? Be cool.
Let's be cool.
Let's be cool. These games coming out this week.
Don't we normally go into questions?
We do.
Do you want to do games, though?
Let me pull up a question. I think the only question came from Max because we did forget to do this before, like 8 minutes before. Yeah. And Max is like, "Hey, why aren't you playing Destiny with Josh and I?"
We kind of explained that already.
I did.
I had a few leftover questions that we haven't answered
just
yet from Max again because Max is all over it.
That's fantastic.
Have you ever pretended to be sick or otherwise skipped out of a responsibility in order to play a video game? If so, what game?
I'm sure I have, but life, I can't think of one.
Really?
Like, don't get me wrong, I've done it. Like,
I've taken countless sick days to play World of Warcraft. I think what was it? The Star Wars MMO came out. I took off 3 days sick from launch day. Like, I don't give a fuck.
See, the big difference is, like, I've only been
the thing is, I know where you work now, you're measured on your unplanned
leave. Yeah, one of our KPIs is unplanned leave,
which
so
is
sick
fucked.
Days.
No,
yeah.
That's so fucked in so many ways.
It's like, hey, if you're sick, don't come into work. Okay, why weren't you here?
Yeah, I was sick. How sick, do you have a doctor's note?
See, the thing is, like, I've only worked in a full-time position for the last, like, 3 years. So prior to that, I work casual jobs.
Mm.
So if I didn't go in, I didn't get paid. So I would go to work sick because I needed the money.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you've worked full time since you were 15.
Yeah.
So you, like, you know, like, I, you had probably thousands of hours of sick leave accrued.
I had about 400.
Yeah, see, I have about...
Which was wasted because I didn't take enough of it.
Yeah.
And then I leave the job and you lose that 400
hours.
Yeah,
I have like 150 something hours.
So I should have just taken more days off to play video games.
Mm.
You know, in hindsight. Keep yourself enough sick leave in case, like, keep yourself about 2 weeks just in case, you know, you are legit sick. Other than that,
you are
not going to get that paid out when you leave. So don't feel bad about taking
that. I woke up yesterday feeling pretty ratchet, still pretty ratchet today. You know, so I was like, fuck it, I'm just going to. I stayed home and I slept most of the day. Yeah. James and I had a 3 hour of sleep in the afternoon, which is great. Like, it was just him and I on the bed. You know, it was awesome. And I actually felt better.
Another one, I think we've.
And then I played PUBG till 2:30 in the morning.
We've talked about this briefly, but may as well put it into like a thing. What difficulty do you play on a standard, and does your standard differ depending on the genre of game you're playing?
I tend to play normal, just medium.
Really?
Whatever the mid tier is where I tend to hang out.
I go straight to easy. If I can go easy, I will play it on easy. I don't have time to dick around and die and try it again. I'd rather just fucking get in there and get it done.
But don't get me wrong. Like, as in, I'll pick normal. I'm not afraid to drop it down, but normal is relevant. Because like I said, I don't want to breeze through it because, you know, what's the fun in that?
I mean, I do want to breathe through it.
And my old younger game, Ryan's like, don't play games on easy, man. you've sold out. Yeah,
you fucking weakling. Nah, always easy if I can. And last one from Joel. What is your favorite hidden gem game? Either a game you wish more people had played or you really enjoyed that not many people are aware of. Say it.
You know from, you know what it is.
Harvest Moon?
Fuck yeah, it is. That was fantastic.
Is it a hidden gem though? I mean, I thought it was pretty popular.
In some circles. It's by far the most popular, like, except farm villain shit, which ruined it. But like, it is the biggest name in farming games. Yeah. But it's just, it's been quiet for years. Mm. You know, we've got a new one coming out next year. Fuck yeah. I just love them. Love them so much.
Legend of Dragoon for me. Mm. JRPG back on the PS... Fuck.
A Mystic Quest Legend.
One or two. I think it's PS... PS1, it was PS1 because it was marketed as, they fucked up the marketing, is going to be the game that fucking kills Final Fantasy, and they shouldn't have done that because it was a fantastic, it was a fucking awesome game.
It should put on its own merits.
Still one of my favourite JRPGs of all time. Probably enjoyed it more than any other Final Fantasy I've played overall. Unfortunately, it didn't age well. I got a ROM for it a few months ago. Mm. Shouldn't have. But the game, I think it was ahead of its time in terms of mechanics. In terms of JRPG combat, it advanced it in a lot of ways, did things that no other game had done before. Story was fucking solid. It was 4 discs long. It's disappointing that a lot of people didn't get to play that game.
It's funny, like, same thing. Like, I think back of games that I grew up with, and I'm like, in my head, they looked fucking crisp.
Yeah.
Like, I remember, oddly enough, only because it came up on Facebook the other day, was Final Fantasy VIII. You know, with the big fucking horn dude, and he like smacks the meteor into the ground, like one of the beasts.
Oh, Bahamut.
Yeah. Bahamut, yeah. I thought that looked so good. I saw it, and I'm like, that was like trash. Yeah.
It was the same when we watched the launch trailer for Crash Insane Trilogy. I'm like, it doesn't look any different.
And then it shows you.
And then like, when I look back to Crash 1, I was like, oh, this looks like poo.
Yeah.
Like absolute poo.
So in my head, there's a game that I grew up with called Breath of Fire 4.
Yeah, I know that game.
In my head, it looked great. It did my head look like a cartoon. Mm. I have no idea what it looks like. I'm going to pull it up while you read the drop.
All right, moving into the drop, coming to the players for the week of September 19th, 2017. 36 Fragments of Midnight, PS Vita, digital. The Binding of Isaac, Afterbirth Plus, PS4, retail.
Yeah.
Blackguards 2, PS4, digital and retail. Burly Men at Sea, PS4,
oh, shit,
PS
we had
Vita,
a ton more
digital.
Questions come in.
Oh, did we? I'll get through this and we'll go back to some questions. Caveman Warriors, PS4, digital. The Coma, Recut, PS4, digital. Endspace, PSVR, digital. Factotum 90, PS4, PS Vita, digital. Hidden Dragon Legend, PS4, digital. Ink, PS4, digital. The Lego Ninjago Movie video game, PS4, digital and retail. That's sure to be a smash hit. Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite, PS4, digital and retail. Mary Skelter, Nightmares, PS Vita, digital and retail. Mecho Tales, PS Vita, digital. There's a lot of PS Vita
games. Good.
Minecraft Story Mode Season 2, PS4, retail. Morphite, PS4, digital. NBA 2K18, PS4, digital and retail. That'll be in the charts for the following week.
Mm-hmm.
Pankapu, PS4, digital. Project Cars 2, PS4, digital and retail. Raiders of the Broken Planet, PS4, digital. Robonauts, PS4, digital. Shopkeep. PS4 digital. The Solus Project, PS4, PSVR digital.
Please read me Shopkeep.
Swords, wizards, potions, spells, fighting to the death and making money. It's all in a day's work. Create your own fantasy shop, selling armor, potions, and so much more.
That sounds like my alley.
That could be fun, actually.
That sounds fun.
You know, you get a wizard come in, you got to make him up some mana flasks.
Like, hey, what's up? He's like, can I get a potion that does this? Yeah. Like, fuck it, why not?
That could actually be, what's that on? A PS4.
It sounds stupid, I like it.
Two VR games, may as well look at those.
Yep.
Solus Project. The Solus Project is a first-person survival exploration adventure set on a mysterious and seemingly uninhabited alien planet. To stay alive, you must explore and discover the secrets buried deep below the surface. That sounds pretty generic. And the other PS...
See, Binding of Isaac is awesome, by the way.
Never played it.
Oh, it's really
I mean,
good.
I've seen it and I know how popular
so do you
it is.
Know, do you have the basic understanding of it?
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, you're going through the...
Kind of, like, it's a fucked up...
It's fucked up. It's awesome. Up. Like, you fight, like, fetuses and shit. It's really weird.
Burly Men at Sea. This looks... interesting. Berliman at Sea is a folktale about a trio of large bearded fishermen who step away from the ordinary to seek adventure. Set in the waters of early 20th century Scandinavia, the game's story branches through a series of encounters with creatures from folklore. It's just, the title is just really funny. It's Berliman at Sea. And End Space for PSVR. Jump in your Minos starfighter and blast your enemies into space dust in virtual reality. Maintain law and order at the mysterious and beautiful edge of inhabited space as you complete increasingly difficult contracts for the United Trade Consortium. Space flight in VR.
No?
Yeah. You like that stuff, don't you?
No, sir. And obviously, of course, Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite, a PlayStation 4 exclusive.
Give no fucks.
Cool. All right, we missed some questions, totally.
And just on Minecraft story mode, I didn't think all the episodes are even out yet.
I think it's the retail disc. You know, you get it one and it sort of unlocks them as it goes, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Because season episode 3 is out on Tuesday, which I'll be picking up for the kid.
Jess asks, do you think there should be more Battle Royale type games like PUBG?
I'm sure there will be now. With,
yeah, you know, now branching that, off now, the, now the doors are open.
Now that this genre has been created, fucking everyone's going to be jumping on it. One on PS4 would be nice. That'd be really good.
Here we go. Mitch asks, with the large amount of key bindings used in PC games such as PUBG and Ark, is a port to the consoles likely or even viable?
Well, Ark is there.
And then Jess has added the question, is it a good idea for PC games to port to console at all?
Well, yes, it is, but you know, we've talked about this a couple of times now. It's just the menu systems, they just need to find a way to make them not so fucking convoluted. And the more complicated the game, the worse it is on console. Like Ark is still, I reckon, pretty bad for menus.
Yeah.
Minecraft found a way around it. Still not great, but it does give you the cursor to go through your inventory. It does have, like, you know, push triangle to quick transfer things to whatever box you have open. The PC game should definitely come over to console.
Yeah.
But I think a little more time on the UI and the menus need to be put into a lot.
Yeah, and Max adds this as well. He goes, most Steam games these days do have control support as standard, so a straight port is not a huge issue as they default to an Xbox controller for configuration. Mm. So yeah, that's obviously true, and then you can just sort of, you know, add to with what you need.
And you also need to, if you're going to be porting PC to console, allow us to remap the keys.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times the defaults are fucking
shit. Speaking of PC, Jess also asks, why is there such a delay between releasing on a console and releasing on a PC with Destiny 2 in mind? Short answer is, with PC, is unlike PS4 and Xbox One, there is literally one configuration. Mm. There's no different video cards, no different motherboards. It's fine. So it's unanimous. You know it works. With PC, you know, we could both have the same motherboard but different graphics cards, and it could completely fuck the game. Mm. So what they're spending the next month and a half is optimizing.
Yeah.
Is like, okay, we'll work with this. We'll work with this. Like, they're trying to fuck around with all the different architecture to make it work.
Yeah. And
because PC is so huge.
For the type of game Destiny 2 is, you know, the longevity of it, an extra 6 weeks wait isn't a big deal.
Because, like, you think about Batman Arkham Knight came out, and it was an actual garbage fire. They tried to do it, and,
you know, they need to avoid that, obviously.
Yeah, and, like, and that was only with, like, not all, like, only two, like, only very certain graphics setups worked. Everything else didn't, you know, because that's a poorly optimized game.
And being, you know, Destiny 2 under the label for PC under Activision, Bungie, and Blizzard, they're three huge names that don't, like, Blizzard is notorious for taking their time with shit to make sure it's right, even though they don't get it all the time. But, you know, that's, they're known for just not giving shit dates. It's like, it'll be out when it's ready, when we decide that it's ready.
And the problem the best thing about Blizzard is they have earned that.
Oh, they've earned it for sure. And because Destiny 2 is being run through the Blizzard launcher, even though it's not technically a Blizzard game, the stability of Destiny 2 does have repercussions for Blizzard if it comes out being fucking garbage.
Correct.
And, you know, Blizzard are going to be like, no, we'll host the game for Activision because they're under the same brand. You know, our launch is set, our servers are good, you know, the launch has been around for a while, it's stable. But if you're going to bring this over, you make sure it's fucking right. Because our name is now labeled to this game, and you need to make sure it's good.
But Activision, you know, big game company. They're like they're the dollar. You know, to them, if for any reason the PC port doesn't work, and with the window with Steam refunds, they need to make it work. They don't want to lose any money on this.
Yeah. And I'm sure Blizzard could have said no. You know, Blizzard could have said, no, we don't want it on our launcher. You know, Blizzard are big enough to tell Activision to go fuck themselves, even though they're technically owned by Activision. Blizzard, you know. You know how Blizzard are. You know how big they are. If they said, no, we don't want it on the launcher, then it wouldn't be there. So Blizzard have you know, put their really stuck their leg out there to help, you know, Bungie and Activision. So I think it'll be Blizzard are the ones saying, you've got to make sure this is right.
Hmm.
And then we'll host it for you. No issues.
I agree. You know how to end it.
I always forget. Every week I forget we do it at the end of the show too. You can join in more PlayStation conversations every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube, iTunes and other podcast services. More conversation happens on our Facebook community group page at facebook.com/groups/thepopculturist. But the most conversation happens, of course, on our ever-expanding Discord, which you can get the link to that in the description below. If you happen to really like what we do, please consider heading over to patreon.com/thepopculturist. Check out the tiers there. There might be something there that interests you.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And that was For The Players.